It's a wonderful thing that God has done in the midst of our lives, isn't it? Sometimes I reflect back over my past and think about what God washed away. Because God washed away a tremendous thing in my life, and I know in yours too. And it can overwhelm us if we spend some time just thinking about that. Well, on this cold morning, before I start into the message, I had been sitting here thinking about a gentleman that I came to love quite deeply. People just called him Mr. Henry. His name was Henry Callis. And everybody called him Mr. Henry and called his wife Miss Daisy. Unless some of the kids met her first and then he was Mr. Daisy. Mr. Henry taught me an awful lot in the time that I knew him. Just a sweet, country, easy man. He did work for VDOT, so he didn't do a whole lot of work during most of his life, I guess. But he was such a wonderful person. Told me such things. He had this giant oak tree in their front yard that was right on the edge of the road. And around a particularly very bad corner. It was kind of a blind corner as you come around his house. And this tree was probably a good 8 foot in diameter. And the tree started rotting through the middle. And as it did, the VDOT decided that it needed to come down before it fell across the road. So they came and took it down, and I was out there standing in the yard with him one day after they took the tree down. And he told me the squirrels were really having a problem with that because it was a big oak tree and they loved it so much. And he said, and he was a man that would watch. And he probably knew each one of the squirrels by sight and knew which ones hadn't been there in a while. It would be nothing for me to be standing in the front yard talking to him. And he would see a hummingbird and completely zone out. I mean, completely. He would go, there he is, there he is. There. Look at him, look at him, look at him. He was so amazed by what God had created around him. But he told me that the squirrels were having such a tough time with the tree being missing. He said he saw one squirrel come running across the yard and got 6 foot up in the air before he realized the tree wasn't there no more. I said, Mr. Henry. But it was on a cold, cold morning like this. Him and Miss Daisy, they were going to be there. They sat about the third or fourth pew back on this side always. They were going to be there always. And Mr. Henry looked at me and he says, you know, he said, if all the horses don't show up, you don't have to feed the whole thing. So I know that's probably what y'all are hoping this morning because we've got a bunch of empty pews because of the cold and that you're not going to get the whole load of feed for today. You can't use it all for everybody. Mr. Henry was just a one. There are so many times they became grandparents in one way for my three kids. Just wonderful, wonderful country folks. He would raise probably 2 or 3 acres of garden just so he could give it away. Just to give it away. Just a wonderful man. But he taught me if all the horses don't show up, you don't have to do the whole load of feed. Is that right, Eric? If they all don't show up, you save the feed for later. Well, this morning we're going to look at this short passage found in the book of Galatians. It's the last day of the year. Tomorrow in the civil world is the new year. In the Christian year, we're a month into the year. I hope you remember that. The Christian year starts with the fourth Sunday before Christmas. And today, in case you didn't realize it, is the seventh day of Christmas. Christmas goes from Christmas Day until January 5th in the Christian year. So it's still Christmas. Those of you that have already opened all your gifts, I'm sorry. Today is the seventh day of Christmas until this next Saturday, when it is what is called Epiphany. And Epiphany is the celebration of the wise men coming to see the child Jesus. Not to see the baby Jesus. To see the child Jesus. Read your scriptures carefully. There's a reason that King Herod killed all that were 3 years and younger. He didn't go just after babies. 3 years and younger. It took the wise men a while to get there. But listen to what Paul shares with the Galatian church. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. The scripture says, when the right time came, when the right time came, then God sent Jesus into the world. God sent the Christ child when the right time came. You know, some of us might say, well, wouldn't now be a better time with all the technology and the way that we have to spread the word all the way around the world in such a simple way? But for some reason, when the Christ child came, that was the right moment. And one of the reasons that was the right moment is most of the Western world spoke one language during that day. Most of the Western world spoke all Greek. Everywhere you went in the Western world, people spoke Greek for the most part, because of what Alexander the Great did in conquering most of the known Western world at that time. So at the right time, this child came into the world. And we need to remember that as we look back. It was the right moment for that child to be there. And then don't forget what that child came for. It says, this happened to bring about our redemption and our adoption. Our redemption and our adoption. That's what this came about for. You see, Jesus died that we might be redeemed, that we might be saved by the actions that Jesus went through. That cross is very important. Don't forget, though, the empty tomb. Because the empty tomb is just as important for me to know that God has victory over death. And that one day, not only will I be redeemed, but I will be resurrected. And I don't remember who it was, but somebody asked me the other day, do you think we're going to be resurrected in the same bodies we've got now? And my answer is, yes, but I hope not. I mean, there's arthritis in that toe right there. I'd love not to have arthritis for all eternity. Amen? I'd love not to have a bad knee for all eternity also. I think we're going to be in very similar bodies. Because remember what happened when Jesus was resurrected? They recognized him. And he still had the scars. They recognized him. And he still had the scars. But he also was able to walk through walls. Man, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for the day when I can walk through walls. How much fun that would be. There's something different about the new bodies. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ came so that we could be redeemed. We could be remade, recreated, renewed. That's what Jesus Christ came for. And we can do that now. We're not going to have to wait for eternity for that. We can do that now. That's part of our lives now. But Jesus Christ also came that we might be adopted. That we might truly have a Father that takes care of us. A Father that cares deeply about us. And we are part of one of the most important families ever. I was speaking with Deanne's father yesterday about my dad's father. In his day and age, when he was born, which would have been the 1920s, 1919, I think, he was what was called as illegitimate. His father and his mother were not married. Well, she was, but to somebody else. And he spent his whole life and he was never adopted. He was a foster child that had some great foster parents. I remember meeting them. He took his father's name. And I think he wore it well. And did great good with his name. And was known quite well. He was a captain in the Navy. And I think he was driven to be something. Even though he didn't grow up with a family. He was driven to be something. And he always had to excel and go much further than anybody else. But I think about it now, he never got adopted. His foster parents raised him and he loved them and they loved him. But he was never adopted. You see, for us, God not only wants to redeem us, his foster parents redeemed him and poured great things into him. But God also wants to adopt us and make us part of a family. A family that's not dysfunctional. Okay, well maybe some of the brothers and sisters are that are part of our family now. If you understand what I'm trying to say. It's not a dysfunctional family. It's a family filled with love and it's a family that helps and supports one another. We have been adopted into God's family by the work of Jesus Christ. Wow! How incredible is that? How incredible is that, that God says, I want to make you my daughter. I want to make you my son. Now, there was a process in the midst of Paul's world that he probably thinks about a little bit more than we do. You see, Paul lived in that Roman world. And in that Roman world, when you were born into a family, you didn't have any more rights than a slave. If you were born into a family, you didn't have any more rights than a slave. You had the same status once you were born into that family. And see, that's the way it was in Paul's world. As a minor, that's all you were seen as. You weren't seen as someone that was an heir. You weren't seen as someone that was going to inherit great things. You were just part of the family. You were there. And that was about it. In your teenage years, though, if you were fortunate, in your teenage years, you would be given a mentor. You would be given a mentor that could watch over you, that could take care of you, that would teach you how to be part of the family. How to be part of what would be an important part of the family. And that mentor would follow you around and teach you. You may not spend much time with your parents. A Roman father may be off somewhere else, doing something else. but you would be taught by this mentor with hopes in mind that one day you would be able to be an heir of your father. With hopes in mind that one day you would be able to be an heir. You didn't start out as an heir. It was a process of learning and a process of understanding. And if you went through the right training, then maybe sometime in your 20s, you would become an heir of your father. Now, this is what Paul would be thinking about as he writes this. Paul would be thinking about, as we come into this world, and this analogy doesn't work completely, but as we come into this world, we are slaves to sin. And we are nothing more than that. We are in bondage to sin until we come to Jesus Christ and get that release from that bondage. Yes, my grandson is beautiful, he's handsome, he's wonderful, he's the best child in the world. What else have I heard from other grandparents that I'm supposed to say? But at this point in his life, he's under God's care. And he's under very good care from my son and his wife, who I call my daughter also. He's under very good care from them. But he's yet come to an age, as a Baptist, he has yet come to the age where he can accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's still a slave to sin. Our prayers are that he grows to the age that he has this mentor somewhere in his teenage years. Hopefully not just his father and mother and grandparents, but hopefully other folks in the church. Hopefully the Holy Spirit touches his heart in such a way that he's prepared and ready for what God has for him and accepts Jesus Christ. And when he accepts Jesus Christ, then he has the opportunity to become an heir. An opportunity to be an heir. It's incredible. You see, God has the same process for us. Do you see that? I think the Holy Spirit, in many ways, is our mentor. And that Holy Spirit came to me in my teenage years, my late teenage years, and my young 20s, to try to teach me and try to get me to understand God is calling you to be an heir of the kingdom. And God wants to adopt you into a family that's the greatest family there will ever be. Is that incredible? God not only creates us, God realizes the bondage and the slavery that we're in to sin. God provides a way to change that. And God says, I want to make you an heir. You see, this happened in the Roman world too, because sometimes the heirs of a man would not be his biological children. He would think so much of others and their status and how they had learned to be adults that he would adopt them and they would become his heirs. And sometimes this was even done after the father died, because the father didn't have an heir. And someone would be adopted at a later date to inherit all that is there. How incredible is that? It may be a man that had no family to speak of. One who never came to be part of a larger family that had anything. And he might be adopted. Gosh, my parents passed on a lot to me. My grandparents passed on a great deal to me. I was fortunate and I was able to grow up always being 3 miles from my grandparents. And they passed a great deal of things on to me. Not things that I could really hold on to. But then in my early 20s, God says, I want to adopt you. Not only did I create you and make you and mold you, not only did I send a mentor to start working on your heart, to prepare your heart and to get it ready, but I want to adopt you. I want to make you part of my family. And I'm going to allow you to inherit part of the incredible riches that I have. The blessings that I want to pour down upon this world, I want to let you inherit those. What an invitation. It's not just an invitation for salvation. It's not just fire insurance. You get that? It's not just fire insurance to save you from living an eternity in hell. God says, I want to bless you over and over and over again. Now here's one of the things that I find so often people miss out on. They think it's a one-time thing and God adopted me and I'm done, did it. I'm over with that. God adopted me and made me part of the kingdom, and sometimes they think there's not much I need to do to be responsible to receive all that. And then sometimes they think, well, I already got it all at once. Here's a good trick question for you. When somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, how much of God comes to live within inside them? 100% is the answer. It's not 1%, and as you grow older, it's 5%, and then 10, and then 15, and then 20. 100% of God comes to live within you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it's a process of learning what that means. It's an ongoing process. Just as these children in the Roman world, they weren't really considered much when they were born. And then they got a mentor in hopes that they could be trained well enough to become an heir. Folks, it's a process for us too. And it's the same process that God wants to happen for us. You can be adopted, but still be out in left field somewhere. You can be adopted and not experience the blessings of God. You can be adopted and experience every blessing that God has for you. But it's a process of learning that. It's a process of spending time in the Scriptures. It's a process of praying. It's a process of knowing how to rest. What I want to ask you today, will you be known as an heir of God? Not just a child or a teenager. Will you be known as an heir of God? Will you grow into that role in such a way that when people see you, they will say, not only did God adopt that one, not only did God adopt that man or that woman, but look at how they live. They are an heir of God. You know, you don't have to make any resolutions. I like what a man by the name of Jack told me. He never made any resolutions. He always made revolutions. And if you live into your role as an heir of God, that will be a revolution in this world, won't it? you will be living completely different than most folks. And we will have a revolution in the very good possible way. But you've got to learn that process. And you've got to learn how to live into that so that this community will be revolving around Jesus Christ. So will you be known as an heir of God? Let us pray. Lord, what a privilege you have given us. What an incredible thing that you are inviting us to be part of. And yet, so many spend their time with so many other things. And some come to you and accept Jesus Christ and never learn how to be an heir. So, Lord, we pray that you would guide us in a deep and a rich way. That you would encourage us and walk with us. That you would show us what it means to truly be an heir of the living God in the midst of this world, that we might come, give glory to you, and truly have a revolution in the midst of our country and this world. Causing things to revolve around you, not around so many other things that people have it with. Lord, guide us and direct us that we might truly be your heirs. In Christ's name we pray.